My name is Valerie Payne, and this is the podcast Binding Unity. I started this podcast because of a personal experience that helped me to see the need for unity in our society right now. I hope that you will come along with me on my quest to find unity as we seek understanding, connection, healing, and love. Hi, this is Valerie Payne, and you're listening to another episode of Finding Unity. And today, Beth LeBaron is on. Beth, do you want to say hi to everyone?
Hey, everyone. I'm Beth.
So Beth is going to be talking a little bit about her experience in being adopted and being placed for adoption. But Beth, do you first just kind of want to talk a little bit about yourself, where you're from, your background?
Yes. Yeah. So my name is Beth LeBaron. I grew up in Fountain Green, and that's still where my parents live. I have one older brother, and he's married, and he has a daughter. And then right now, I'm going to school to be an accountant. I'm currently working on my undergrad, going to UVU. And then professionally, I have a part-time job. I pick up an autistic boy, and I take him home from school. And so I do that during the school year, and I just do that Monday through Friday.
That's awesome. A lot of different things you're doing.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk and kind of dive in a little bit about your upbringing? Just kind of go into your adoption story. How old you were when you found out you were adopted, all of that.
Okay, yeah. So I mostly grew up in Utah, but I was born in Oklahoma.
I did not know that.
Yes, yeah, Oklahoma. That's where my brother and I are adopted from. So just to give a little background to the story, my mom and dad, they met at BYU and they got married and they were living in Utah for a couple years. And they were trying to have kids right after they got married. And my parents couldn't have kids, and their doctor told them that it was unlikely that they would be able to have their own kids. But they tried anyway, and they even tried IVF. My mom said they did that about 10 times. But they eventually felt very prompted that they needed to move to Oklahoma. They weren't really sure why, but when they moved to Oklahoma, that's where they were able to adopt my brother and I. And they said that adopting in Utah was very difficult, but adopting in Oklahoma was a much easier process. So first they adopted my brother. It was pretty soon after that they adopted me. A few years later, they moved back to Utah. And so that's where I mostly grew up.
What was that like for you growing up? Did your parents tell you that you were adopted, or what did that look like for you?
Yeah, so I'd always known that I was adopted. There was never like a moment where my mom and dad were like, oh, and by the way, you're adopted. I'd always known. I think it was always part of my identity. It was something that they were very open about. And of course, my brother also knew I was adopted because he was 2.5 when I was born. I think he remembers when I came, even though he was still a baby. But I've always known. They've just always made it a part of who I am and a part of my story.
Mm-hmm. And so same with your brother. They were pretty open about you both being adopted and that experience.
Yes. Yeah.
You mentioned how it's been a part of your identity.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious to know, growing up, did you feel any lack of identity or any confusion in not knowing who your birth parents were?
Yes, actually I did. This happened when I was closer to about 14, 15, 16 years old. I really was struggling with who I am. I was just struggling with what my identity is. I think a lot of people do that at that age. And so when I was around that age, especially when I was 16, I really wanted to find my birth family. I really wanted to know, what is she like? Where do I come from? Who are my ancestors? Like, who... do I have younger brothers and sisters? I wanted to know, which is very normal. I wanted to know who I am. And I felt like that was part of my identity, part of my DNA. I did struggle with that. And that was mostly around my teenage years. You know, again, when I was still trying to figure out who I even am in the first place.
So you mentioned that learning about your family was very important to you because you felt like that was a part of you. I feel like some people may struggle with feeling like maybe not enough or like they weren't of worth because they were placed for adoption. Did you experience any of that, or what was your experience in that aspect maybe of your identity?
Yeah, so I never felt like it defined my worth or made me feel like I was anything less than because I was adopted. I know that some people can have this sense of like they were rejected because their birth mother gave them up for adoption, but I never had that impression. I always had known that my birth mother was very young when she had me. So she was 16 years old when she got pregnant and 17 when she placed me for adoption. And we truly didn't know the real circumstances behind my adoption, but we were under the impression that she was forced to give me up just because she was too young to raise me. So I guess just to answer your question, I never felt like I was anything worth less because of being adopted.
Do you think part of that is maybe how your parents presented the story of your adoption to you?
Yes, I think so. I think my mom and dad always made me feel like I was loved, and that I was always under the impression that my birth mother didn't want to give me up for adoption, but because she had to, and it was the right thing for her to do and the right thing for me to do, which is a very unselfish thing for someone to do for their child.
Yeah, it is. It's very unselfish. You mentioned your family did a really great job of kind of presenting that story, making you feel loved. What were things that they did to make you feel a sense of belonging? Maybe that some may struggle with feeling not being a biological child. Did you ever feel that way? Or if you didn't, what did they do specifically maybe to make you feel integrated into the family?
I guess I didn't struggle feeling integrated in the family just because my mom and dad are my mom and dad. And also I think it helps that both my brother and I were both adopted. And so I didn't come into a family where I was adopted later and my parents already had biological children of their own. And because I was, both my brother and I, we were both babies when we were adopted. So this is all we know. Like this is right. Our upbringing.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, so you never felt a sense of disconnect from your parents.
Correct, yeah. No sense of disconnect. Just like how your mom and dad are your mom and dad, like my mom and dad, like they're my parents. And I have never felt like there was any kind of disconnect between us. It's never felt like there's any distance or a wedge between us. They're my mom and dad. And I think like this entire time, they'd always meant to be my mom and dad. I just got to them in a little bit more of a unique way.
Yeah, they sound like great parents.
Yeah, I love them.
Let's shift for a little bit and talk a little bit about finding your biological parents and how old you were and that whole process. So yeah, go ahead.
Yes. So when I was about 24 years old, there was a girl who was in my ward at the time, also known as a congregation at church, but she was telling us about ancestry DNA. And I know that people from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have used that before. And so I thought that that was going to be the way that I was going to find my birth mother. Because I was adopted through LDS Family Services, I knew that my birth mother is a member of this church. So I went and bought the ancestry DNA test thinking, this is how I'm going to find my birth mother. So I took the ancestry DNA test. Several weeks went by. I got my results back. And the closest match I had was with the second cousin. And even then it was his wife that was running the account. So I talked to her and I talked to several people on Ancestry DNA trying to find out if they had heard of a young girl who was 17 years old who gave up a baby for adoption. I emailed lots of people, but it was a closed adoption, so I didn't have very much information to go on. So essentially, I kind of hit a dead end again. But I would check this app every single day. And every single day, I would have a few more matches. And so I'd go in to see who it was, to see how close the relation was, hoping that someone on there would be of a close enough relation to help me meet her. Well, fast forward, I did this for several years, and I never was able to find her that way. And when I was 29 years old, I decided that I was going to serve a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And while I was on my mission, I was just out there for a few months, and I had this really strong prompting that I needed to log into my Ancestry DNA account. So I logged into my Ancestry DNA account, and I had a match with my birth father. And I was shocked.
I bet.
Yeah, I was shocked. Well, first of all, I wasn't looking for my birth father. I was looking for my birth mother. And so I didn't know what to do because I just had this impression that my birth father, I had the impression that he just wasn't this good guy. I didn't know very much about him, but I did know that he was in jail when I was born. I believe that was the case. And so I wasn't looking for him. And in fact, I was a little terrified to contact him. Well, there's a woman in my ward, and she's very good at family history. Her name is Patience. And I think she...
Which you need for family history.
That's right. Yeah, so I think she already knew my story. I think she already knew that I was adopted, and we had talked about family history before. And so I decided I was going to call her and tell her I just matched with this man on AncestryDNA, and it says that he's my birth father. What should I do? And she's like, well, Sister LeBaron, you can message him. That's really all you can do. And I was like, okay. So I worked up the courage. I sent this guy a message on AncestryDNA. I told him who I was. I told him I didn't want to intrude on his life, that all I was wanting was to find my birth mother. And I asked if he would just help me do that. Well, a week went by, and I would check my account nearly every day, every chance I got, to see if he had emailed me back, but he never did. And so the following preparation day on my mission, I went over to Patience's house to see if we could find him, because I wanted to find my birth mother. So I went to her house, and she just went to town on research. His name is John Harrison. And so first we tried to find him on Facebook, but there are a lot of John Harrisons, and we were trying to find if any of them looked like me, and just nothing was coming up. And so we started looking up records online, like census records for Oklahoma, about his same age, about where I was born. Anyway, long story short, we were able to find someone who knows John, and we were able to get a hold of John that way. So when I first met John, he told me that I had the wrong person and that he wasn't my birth father. And I asked him, I asked if he had taken the ancestry DNA test. And he said, yes, I did. And I said, well, didn't you look to see if you have any matches? And he said, well, no, I didn't know it did that. I'm like, well, it does. And I'm sitting right here, and it says that you're my birth father. And so then he realized, he's like, oh my gosh, I know who your birth mother is. Hold on just a second while I text her. So I was really surprised that they, like after 29 years, that they were friends this whole time. So he was able to reach out to my birth mother and tell her that I was looking for her.
And do you want to talk a little bit about maybe like why he didn't realize that that he was your father initially?
Yes. So what happened was, when my birth mother, when she got pregnant with me, she was dating another guy at the time. And I think she had been dating this guy for several months. But during that relationship, she slept with my birth father just one time. And that was when they conceived me. So when I was born, or when my birth mother was when my birth mother was pregnant, her sister told John, hey, she's pregnant, but don't worry, the baby's not yours, and she's giving up for adoption anyway. So he didn't worry about it, and he in fact totally forgot about it. And so when here I come 29 years later looking for my birth mother, that's when he realized that I was his. And that's also when my birth mother realized that he was the father and not this other guy.
So she didn't know until you reached out?
Yes, she had no idea. She thought it was this other guy the entire time.
Wow.
So when John was able to connect my birth mother and I, she told him that she was so sorry because she thought the father was somebody else. And my birth father told me, he's like, if I had known that you existed, I would have not have let you been given up for adoption.
Wow. And what did that mean to you?
You know, that really, it really means a lot to know. It really means a lot to know that I am loved and that I am wanted. And I think that this has been, I know that it was really hard on my birth mother because she did not want to give me up for adoption. her mom and dad gave her this ultimatum because she was 17 that if you're going to keep this baby, you're going to have to move out and you're going to have to raise this baby on your own. We're not going to help you. So I know that it was a very hard decision for my birth mother to give me up for adoption, and also to know that my birth father cares about me as well. It really does make me feel good and know that I am wanted and that I am loved.
So you mentioned how feeling loved and wanted, how significant that was for you. I know you and I have talked before this a little bit, and you mentioned how different your life would have looked had you not been placed for adoption. So even though I know it meant so much to you to hear that from your birth father, I guess, what does it mean to you knowing that your birth mother cared enough about you to place you for adoption and put you in a different setting than maybe you would have been being raised by a 16 or 17 year old?
Yeah, I feel like I am in a very blessed situation where I was given the opportunity to be raised by two parents who are married, and they were ready to and available to raise a child. It makes me very appreciative that I was able to have an upbringing like that. That I was able to be raised in a family, to have my brother and I, and to have my parents.
And what does your relationship look like with your birth parents now? Your birth parents and your parents.
Yes. Now. Yeah. So I think people have a lot of curiosity around that. What is it like for my parents, for me to find my birth parents? My parents are very mature about it. And I talked to my mom about this, and she said that for her, she just looks at it as more people to love me and care about me. And she really loves that for me and wants that for me. So, but my parents have been very supportive this entire time. They've always known that I did want to find my birth parents. That's always been something I've been interested in. And so when I did find them, they were very supportive of that. I never got the impression that there was a hint of jealousy coming from my parents about finding my birth parents. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned as well that your identity when you were younger, kind of discovering who you were, knowing your family, that was something you really were longing for. How has that maybe impacted your identity now, knowing your family history, the good and the bad? Because you mentioned your father being in jail for a little, your birth father being in jail for a little bit.
Yeah.
How has that maybe impacted your identity and helped you discover who you are a little bit more?
Yeah. So come to find out, my birth mother was actually describing another man. Because when I was born, they did give me a document, and this is all I had. This is all I knew about my birth parents was they gave me a sheet, and it had like their hair color, eye color, height, weight, if they had glasses or not, and what their hobbies were. But when she filled out this document, she was describing another man other than my birth father. But thankfully, you know, she was about close enough with the age that I was able to use that information to find him.
Yeah, because she thought it was with that other man and not the guy that she was dating at the time.
Yeah.
So what has it meant to you to kind of get to know both of your birth parents, and how has that influenced your identity or helped you discover who you are?
Yeah, I have enjoyed it so much. I've been able to see who I look like, what features I have from either my birth mother or father. It has been a lot of fun to get to know their personality. To see like in what way we are similar. So that's been a lot of fun for me to be able to bond with them in that way, to see like what things we do similar, you know, and in what ways do we think similarly, even having some of the same mannerisms as them. That's been really fun for me. I have always felt like a piece of me was missing. And I think part of that was being able to find my birth family, to be able to have that connection and, you know, of where I come from. And I feel so much more complete now that I know them.
You mentioned knowing them, you mentioned how mature your parents have been about the whole process. What does your relationship look like now with your birth parents?
I have a really good relationship with my birth parents. In fact, it's my birth father and I who have really connected with one another. And he and I, we talk once a week. And I think it has been a lot of fun for him to find out that he does have a birth daughter. He also has a son who was born after me. But it's been a lot of fun for him. And something that he had said when he had found me, that he wasn't able to help raise me when I was younger, but he would love to be a part of my life and kind of be a part of my upbringing going forward. So that's been a lot of fun. So my birth father and I, we talk every week. We text often. Sometimes we call each other and he tells me what's happening, you know, within the family. And then we do visit each other as well. So I've gone out to Oklahoma to go visit him. We've done that over Christmas. He's also come out to Utah to visit me. And so that's been a lot of fun. And then same with my birth mother. We also talk pretty often, you know, same thing, text message, phone calls. And every now and then, yeah, I'll go visit her as well. And she's also come out to Utah to visit me.
And what was it like actually discovering you have another brother, a half brother?
Yes. So on my birth mother's side, I actually have three younger siblings.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So on my birth mother's side, she had a daughter about 3 years after I was born. And then she later got married and she had two kids with that husband. And so I have three younger siblings on my birth mother's side. So I have two younger sisters and one younger brother. And then on my birth father's side, he has one son. And so it's kind of fun because now I'm the older child. I always grew up as the baby, but now I have four younger half siblings.
And what does your relationship look like with them?
Yeah, I have a good relationship with them. We don't talk as often, but I think they know that I love them and I care about them. And when we do see each other, it is a lot of fun to bond with them.
It sounds like you've had such a positive experience with, you know, adoption and finding your birth parents. Is there anything that maybe you've experienced or maybe you've seen from other people in their situations? Maybe some advice that you would give to parents who adopt, just as someone who's been adopted?
Yeah, I think something that's really important for parents to know about their children finding their birth parents is they're in no way being replaced. It is very normal for us adoptees to want to know who we are and where we come from and what their birth family is like. That's very normal. And in no way are my mom and dad diminished in any way. They are my mom and dad. They haven't been replaced. It's not like we found a cooler, shinier object to replace them with. We just, in my situation, it's been really nice to expand my family, not take away from anyone, but to add to it.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you want to share about your adoption story or your experience that you feel like, you know, may benefit others as they're listening?
Yeah, I think adoption is a very beautiful thing. I believe it's a very unselfish thing for birth parents to do, to give a baby up for adoption that they are just not ready to be able to raise. I believe we are no less than being adopted. I am no less than anyone else. In fact, I'm very proud of being adopted. And for me, it's really fun for me. I feel like being placed for adoption with my parents, I had to get to them in a unique way. And that Heavenly Father, you know, planned this for me, that my mom and dad were always meant to be my mom and dad. And that eventually I would find my birth parents and expand my family even more.
You know, it's interesting you talk about expanding your family and how that's been such a benefit, because when Carolyn Carter was on last week talking about finding the power of your ancestry, she mentioned for people who are adopted, when they're doing family history, it's cool because they have two lines to go down.
Yes.
They have their birth line, but then their adopted line as well. So it's expanding even more as you go further and further and further back and get to know ancestors on both sides. Because I'm sure there are characteristics from your birth parents that you have, but I'm sure there are characteristics that you have from your parents as well, right? Yes. That just things you've learned from them as you've been raised and the way they are in their character and how they've modeled certain things for you.
Yes. In fact, I feel like that's a very important part of my story, is when I found my birth family, I did learn that I am able to do the temple work for them, for my ancestors who have passed on. So I get to do both the temple work for my relatives, but I also get to do it for my birth family. that's really been a neat experience for me doing their temple work. And I feel like I've been able to connect with my ancestors who have passed on. So when I first met my birth father, I was asking lots of questions about my family. I asked him about his mom and dad, so my grandparents, and he had told me that they had passed away just a few years before I found him. And he told me that my Oma would have loved to have known me. And I've been able to take my grandparents' names to the temple. I've been able to do all of their work for them, and I have them sealed. And I feel like that they have been waiting for this for a long time. I feel like it was through me that they helped me find my birth father so that I could do this temple work for them, because they have been waiting. I've been in the temple a lot lately, doing my ancestors' work, and I have felt such a strong connection with them. And it helps me to feel closer to them. And if you know me, you know that I love family. And so it's been really good for me. And I have felt so blessed that I've been able to have this experience that I have had.
Thanks so much for sharing that. Is there anything else that you wanted to share about your story that was maybe a cool experience or maybe just beneficial for the listeners?
Yeah. So I was adopted through LDS Family Services, and I knew that my mother was LDS. But when I found my birth father, I found out that he's not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. He's actually a non-practicing Catholic. And so when he did the ancestry DNA test, So I asked my birth father, why did you take the ancestry DNA test? Because this is, you know, something that a lot of people who are LDS do. And he said that when he told me that at the time, his wife wanted to know what her ethnicity was. So he bought her a DNA kit and then bought one for himself as well. And he said that he set his kit down on a coffee table next to his recliner, and it had sat there for a long time. And he said he kept getting this strong urge that he needed to send in his DNA kit. And he said that the urge kept coming stronger and stronger, so he finally turned the kit in, and this was in February. Well, he said he got the results back in March, and at the end of March is when I started having promptings and the urge that I needed to log into Ancestry DNA. At the end of March is when I started getting the strong urge and promptings that I needed to log into my Ancestry DNA account. And so I really feel like my grandparents on my birth father's side of the family were really pushing for me to find him so that I could do their temple work.
So it sounds like this experience, your adoption, not only has it been healing for you in kind of discovering more of your identity, but also been spiritually healing in so many ways. So I know you had a really cool experience and story with your name. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So when I first found my birth mother and father, it was over the phone. We were talking, and my birth mother, she wanted to know what my name was. Because while on my mission, I'm Sister LeBaron. So I told her, I said, well, my name is Beth. And I was like, well, technically it's Sarah Beth. My first name is Sarah. And she says, Sarah? And I said, yeah. She says, I named you Sarah. And I was like, really? I'm like, but you had another girl after me a few years later. She's like, I know, but Sarah was always your name. And so a little bit of background of how I got my name was when I was born, my parents, my mom wanted to name me Beth, but they wanted me to have two names. And so they kind of played with it to see like what would go well, like as a middle name or something that went well with Beth. And my dad, who is very inspired, he said, her name needs to be Sarah. So even though my name would be Beth, my full name would be Sarah Beth. And so when I met my birth mother and realized that she was able to name me Sarah, I really felt like that was a gift from Heavenly Father to her, that she was still able to name me.
That's a really cool experience. And that's not an experience I think everybody gets.
No.
So what has that meant for you?
it has meant a lot to me to know how aware Heavenly Father is of us, and even how aware he was of my birth mother, even during that difficult time, and to be able to give her that gift.
You've shared so many aspects already about kind of getting to know and seeking understanding about everyone's individual story. This is your experience with adoption, right? And it may look different from somebody else's. And what I'm hearing you say is just how much connection you felt through this expansion of family as you've learned who your birth parents are and being able to go to the temple and do proxy work for your grandparents and your ancestors. On this podcast, the mantra that I kind of use is that we find unity through seeking understanding, healing, connection, and love. What would you say unity is to you?
I think unity is focusing on what connects people despite our differences, bringing us together for a common goal. And so in my situation, my birth family and I, we have very different backgrounds, even religious backgrounds, but I just don't think any of that matters because we all have the same common goal of coming together. So I think finding unity is just coming together despite our differences. We kind of forget about the rest.
I love that thought on that you can have a different, you know, background religiously, or if you look at different aspects, you know, what is the most important is having that common goal, which it sounds like your common goal is family and the importance of family, that it's a goal that your biological parents have, your parents have, you have. It's something that brings you all together.
Yes, I think connecting with each other despite our differences is what's important, to focus on what really does matter. And that's just loving each other despite, you know, what makes us different, you know, whether that's, you know, religious differences, political differences. I think just finding unity is, you know, coming together despite that.
Well, thank you so much for being on, Beth. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for asking me to do this.
If you enjoyed this episode, please like it on whatever platform you're listening to. Remember that it's okay to disagree. Unity comes when we can agree to disagree while still maintaining a love for one another. For more on unity, follow us on Instagram at finding.unity or on Twitter at finding_unity.